You are now tuned into the Essentials on Homegrown Radio. This is Groovy Liz.
Your girl, Callie Alley.
Callie Alley. And we are here with special guest.
Hardaway. Hardaway Smith.
Hardaway.
Yay.
I'm going to call you Hardaway.
What's up?
You're Hardaway Smith. Yep. And the last time that we sat down for a conversation was many moons ago.
Definitely.
Many moons ago. But just to backtrack a little, I don't know if you remember how I found you, but it was your, the Chad video?
Wow, Chad Payne Wet.
Chad Payne Wet, yes.
That's the only song I produced ever.
Really?
In my life. Yes.
Oh my God.
That along with my buddy KY. Yeah.
Wow. Shout out KY and yo. Yeah. Yo, I was going to say y'all, you.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I remember it came across my Instagram Explore page,
uh-huh.
And I was like, what is this? Who is this?
Guess what we sampled?
What was it?
Andre 3000 Prototype.
What?
Yeah, it's crazy.
I have
crazy.
To go back.
You got to go back. It's like really a small bit of it, but yeah, okay. That's what we was playing with.
Was it the...
Yeah, it was like that.
Oh, okay, beat. Okay.
Exactly.
Cool. Yeah. I was going to say, because it was in the drums.
It was crazy. Like, I didn't even think it would come out to sound like that, but
yeah.
That's what we was messing with. We was in Compton at KY's grandmother's house.
Nice.
And yeah, we was, you know, working on that sample, so.
I think I remember you telling me that you were at his grandmother's house,
yeah.
But I don't remember the sample part.
Yeah, we was working on that. That's what it was.
That's crazy. Well, that's how I stumbled upon you, and then I brought you on to... The Essentials when we were Englewood.
Right, about 3 years ago.
3 years ago.
Yeah.
So I've known you for a very good time.
Yes, it's always been love.
Yeah, and I could call you a friend of mine now. So it's been crazy, you know, just watching your growth and just seeing you grow, I guess, on a personal side too.
Uh-huh.
So, because you've always been somebody that has had my back and stuff.
Right,
so
always.
I appreciate you.
Always.
Very dearly.
Yeah, it's always love. You know.
But let's backtrack a little bit for people that might have not heard about you yet.
Okay.
Who Hardaway Smith is and what you repping out here.
Okay, so Hardaway Smith, I'm just a young artist from Los Angeles, California, South Central to be exact. Or if you really want to be exact, Western Ave in Florence,
right.
South Central area.
Mm-hmm.
My message is just, you know, for the young people and the older people who... You know, go through struggles in life, but they still work at trying every day to be something mm-hmm. greater than their struggle, you know?
Right.
So my message is for anybody who just feels like, you know what, I'm going through a hard time, but there's still good to that. You know what I'm saying? There's still a positive within the negative.
Right.
So that's what I want to remind people through my music and lyrics is, you know, even though we're all going through something in life, whether it's positive or negative, we want to strive every day to be the best we could be as mm-hmm. human beings and be better than ourselves, you know, versus being better than each other and looking at each other as competition. Like, we all like competition in our own way, you know.
Right.
Definitely,
right.
I respect competition, but we want to be better than ourselves, better than we were yesterday, you mm-hmm. know. So that's my main message.
Yeah. That's your main message.
Yeah.
And I like how you do carry other messages within your main message.
Right.
Which can also be found within your music and, you know, the projects that you've dropped lately.
Right.
It had been a minute since, right?
Yeah.
Well, now this year was Rare Breed.
Rare Breed, yeah.
But was Street Gentleman your last one?
Street Gentleman Volume 2. We had dropped that in 2016.
It was right after Street Gentleman, right?
Yeah, right after Street Gentleman.
Okay.
We did 2015, we did Street Gentleman, then Street Gentleman 2,
right.
2016. I think 2017 was a crazy year for me. I think
really?
I took a year off and was really just trying to find myself more on the artist mm-hmm. level.
Yeah.
And then I came back 2018, yeah.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
You kind of, how do you feel about, like, ducking off for a year? Because I feel like... I kind of did that for 2 years, but I was still kind of, like, in there a little bit.
Right.
So how do you just kind of, you know?
Well, it's kind of interesting because, like, when I had ducked off,
mm-hmm.
like, in 2017,
right.
when I didn't really drop as much music, I really took that time to be a student of the game.
Mm-hmm.
I, like, linked up with, like, a lot of dope people, you know, and met, like, a lot of more dope people that I didn't know at first. Because my biggest problem, to be honest with you, was always getting out there more. Mm-hmm. I'm not really like a in-your-face kind of person, you know. I'm more private, you know, secluded. That's how I've always been, even as a kid in school. So a lot of people know me, but not because I'm, like, always around. It's more just, like, if you got the chance to come across me and I came across you, then cool, it's a good vibe, you know what I'm saying? But that's how I've always been. So it's kind of easy to duck off, but at the same time, it's important to do things while ducking off, you know what I'm saying? So what I was saying is I took 2017 off musically, but I was a student of the game. I went and met, like, a lot of people, like Mike and Keys. I linked up with them, and, you know, they're always been good mentors to me and taught me a lot of things. I have a good friend by the name of DJ Orator, who's, like, one of my greatest, like, DJ mentors that I could ever ask for. And he's always helped me, you know, just learn different angles at the game and, you know, sent me beats and stuff like that. So, it's, you know, I spent 2017 ducked off, but working with, like, people on the low, you know, and just, like, meeting and connecting.
Right. Yeah. So you were just kind of getting your mind right, if that makes sense.
Yeah, yeah.
Or everything came into, like, alignment.
Right.
You were just working at it.
And I think I might have did some few features. Yeah. Right. That's how it goes. Yeah. You know, sometimes it's not always like a strike, you know, strike thing with the music. You don't always want to, like, attack with the music. Sometimes you got to attack at different angles. Mm-hmm. Maybe you might attack by meeting somebody that's of some importance and they can help you musically, and that might help you in your career. So, yeah, I've definitely, like, learned to be a student of the game and just know that, yeah, it's always about being consistent musically, but you got to be consistent in other avenues too, like networking and marketing and getting your business in right, you know, and that's what we're bringing. You know, we have The Residence. That's my new label.
Yeah.
It's an independent label that me and Rose started back in 2012.
Rose.
Yeah, Rose is in the building. He's always been with me holding it down. Shout out Rose.
Yeah.
Yeah, but The Residence is just basically what we do every day. We try to grind hard out in the world every single day. When we step out of our house, we go out and try to make money to bring back home to The Residence, back to the family. So we're just family-oriented, and everybody who's always been helping me throughout my career, they've always felt like family. So I chose to name my label The Residence because it's just like a household family kind of thing, you know?
That's cool.
Yeah, and everybody eats, so.
Yeah, like when I win, my team wins. My team wins, I win, type of thing.
Can't be a boss if everybody on your team not eating, you know what
I'm
saying?
There it is, that's true.
You know what I'm saying? So that's what it's about. It's just about the family and the residents. So, you know, we're going to be pushing that a lot more. I have a clothing line that I just started called The Residence Clothing.
Right.
It's on Instagram, The Residence Clothing. So you can follow that, you know, and then on top of that, we have more music coming from me.
Yes.
You know, so
please.
I'm working.
Yeah. I know. I'm patient with you.
I've been busy. You know, I just got back from Miami, but I'm back in the studio. I have a great engineer. His name is June the First.
June the First. I got to meet him at, it was outside Casey Reggie's show, right?
Yeah, outside of the show, and he's really dope. You know, June is like a young dude who's really hungry. He's always showed me that he's like in tune with music to the point where he's like a student also.
Right.
He's always watching videos on the greats and studying people, and then he takes it back and implements it into his craft. So I have a lot of respect for him. He's my engineer slash producer. And he's in-house, you know, so we're always working with each
other.
Yeah, residence shit, you know. We always creating a new sound together, and he's definitely embarked on my new journey for this new music I'm working on. So, yeah, him and a guy named Chris.
Chris?
Yeah, they work together. They like a Justice League or something, if you will.
Justice League.
They're dope. Yeah.
Nice, that's dope. And I kind of want to talk a little bit about your relationship with Rose and how you guys are friends and business partners at the same time.
Yeah.
Do you feel like you guys butt heads at all, or?
Man, we actually.
What happens when, you know?
We butt heads, like, actually a couple of times.
I'm going to give him the mic for this one.
Yeah, give him the mic, you know? I mean,
this
is my buddy through thick and thin, regardless of whatever, you know? Like, at the end of the day, even if we didn't have music, I know, like, he would still be my friend. You know, he's like a brother to me.
Right.
I know his family. He knows my family. You know, so it's always close niche, like, regardless of the music or not. But I met Randy, like, through a dear friend named Eddie, mutual friend. I went to high school and middle school with him. Well, not high school, but I went to middle school with Eddie. He went to high school with Eddie.
Yeah, me and Eddie went to high school, and they went to Pali.
Yeah.
And Eddie went to Pali, then Eddie came to Fax, and that's when me and Eddie linked up. Then then we linked up, like, after high school, like, in, like, community college day shit.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Yeah,
so he introduced us, and, yeah, we shot Play A Ways. That's yeah. when we first, like, originally connected, if y'all seen that video, Play A Ways. That's when we got connected, and then from there, we just had a, like, mutual, like, friendship, and we just kind of, you know, linked up and just started working together.
Because we were all, like, a clan, like, you know.
We're a little,
like,
collective.
Yeah, we were, like, a whole collective, like, you know, back in those days. We had something called West Side Uptown.
Okay.
And we were just moving, like, a movement, you know. Yeah. And so we were all homies just through, you know, all of us knowing at least one of us, you know. Mm-hmm. So it just made sense. And then he, like, always went to school and just studied the business end on, like, management and things of that nature. So I was like, okay, well, let me try to, like, see what we could put together, piece together, because we all, like, are always together.
Yeah.
And it's, like, it's only right if we have, like, everybody doing something, so we all feel like, you know, we're working together.
Right.
You know, we're not just hanging out, just chilling every day.
Yeah.
Right, so, right.
You know, he's always been a good manager. He's always stayed on top of me. And to answer your question, we butt heads, you know what I'm saying?
We like brothers, like, you know.
Yeah.
We both got brothers, and we both, like, fought our brothers, our real brothers. You know? Yeah. So, like, you know, like, us butting heads is nothing. Like, we brothers, you know? So.
But
so
we
how
always
do you
know
meet in the
back.
Middle?
Huh?
How do you meet in the middle?
Well, he is not a yes man. So that's what I appreciate about Randy. He's really not a yes man. So he'll tell you straight up how he feels. I'll send him a record. He'll be like, bro, I don't really like the beat. Or he'll say, bro, you could have went harder. You could have spit, like, you know, different on the hook. Like, I don't really like the hook. Or he'll say, like, bro, the flow on your verses, you need to switch up your flow more. Like, you saying the same flow for the first 8 bars. You need to switch
it
up.
Oh, he's on it.
Yeah, he's on it. He's being real detailed. Yeah. So it'd be sometimes where I'll be like, well, damn, like, I don't feel like that. You know what I'm saying? Like, so we got to, like, kind of come back to the drawing board and be like, okay, maybe he's right. The hook could be better, or, you know, he's right. I do know more than one flow. Let me try to do that flow that I already did, plus the flow that he might be talking about is missing. So,
And he does the same for me on the business end, like on the market and just like making connections and things, like, you know, like planning everything out and doing everything at a professional level. He does the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
So we like hold each other accountable, really, like when it comes down to it, like. He's my accountability partner too, so that's how we treat it. Like, you feel me? We may butt heads, that's natural, but we always come back and like collaborate and like move forward.
100.
Nice.
Definitely.
I think that's important.
Yeah.
Do you feel like you guys one up each other sometimes? A little competitive.
He one up each other. Yeah, he one ups me sometimes when it comes to just, you know, his fashion. I ain't gonna lie. Sometimes when we step out, I'll be like, damn, bro, like, you can warn a nigga, I could have stepped out better than this, you know what I'm saying? But, nah, he's a good fly guy, you know what I'm saying? He's real casually dressed, like,
you know,
he could pull up on you in some streetwear or some formal attire and, make it look like he about to go wine and dine at a 5-star, so, you know, Randy is a guy of all flavors, you know what I'm saying?
What about on the court?
Basketball court?
Yeah.
Nah, he won't catch him on no court.
I mean, you catch him on a court, but I ain't that good. You feel me?
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, but
okay. You're on the court, huh?
I ball still, so I came from like a you know, athletic background, just playing sports as a kid. I went to Park League, played Park Rec, you know, baseball. Started off playing basketball.
Yeah.
That was my first sport ever. Played for the Junior Lakers, YMCA. In Westchester.
Wow.
Then I moved over and played baseball, Little League, and started playing like for the Dodgers and White Sox. And I played for the Dodgers in the Major League and the little Park Rec.
That's
and,
crazy.
Yeah, I made MVP every year. Like, I was really actually good at baseball. But once I got to high school, it was like really kind of like intimidating because the coaches kind of didn't really mess with like black guys.
Really?
So, yeah, Palisades, it was kind of prejudice. I'm not going to lie. So I went straight to football, and I had never played football a day in my life. Like, and I actually ended up being good at that. So
dang,
I was like, damn,
you were just everywhere, huh?
Yeah, I like sports. You know, anything that stays active and just, you know, I don't like to be lazy, or I'm not like a lazy person. So
I wouldn't take you as a lazy person. If I just saw you walking down the street, I don't think that person's lazy.
No, I appreciate that for real.
What's something that you feel that sports teaches you? Outside of, I guess, just the physical endurance?
Definitely discipline.
Okay.
Definitely communication.
Yeah.
Communication skills. When I played football, I was a strong safety, and I was one of the captains on defense.
Mm-hmm.
And me, along with the middle linebacker, which I don't know if you're familiar with that position, but Ray Lewis, when he played on the Ravens, that was his position.
Okay.
So they're like the voice of the defense. They tell the whole defense to play, and the strong safety tells the whole secondary, which is the cornerbacks and the free safety and himself to play.
Yeah.
So I was a strong safety. So I had to, like, really be vocal and communicate and, you know, say switch or whatever. So discipline, I would say, just leadership roles, you know. I learned a lot of my leadership just from football and,
mm-hmm.
you know, just taking accountability on my own actions. And, you know, if I was ever, like, in the wrong, I couldn't blame another person for it. I just had to, like, tell my coach, like, yo, coach, that was my fault, you know. So it gave me a lot of, like, responsibility, I would say, mm-hmm. too. So, yeah, that's some of the attributes I've learned.
Yeah, you definitely apply that into, I guess you would say, or I would say, like, your music.
Yeah, I appreciate that.
Yeah.
Thank you.
And I kind of want to get into a little bit of your writing process, because I think you're a writer at heart, right?
Yeah, definitely. I love writing.
Yeah. It's Have you always been, I don't know, I guess a lover of words?
Yeah. It goes back to first grade.
Yeah.
I had an elementary school teacher named Ms. Brown.
Mm-hmm.
And if you listen to the Rare Breed tape, there's a song called No Reason.
Okay.
And I mentioned Ms. Brown.
Mm-hmm.
I think I say something like, I hated all of my teachers except for Ms. Brown because she helped me with speech.
Okay.
Yeah, Ms. Brown, she just taught me in first grade. Like, she would keep me after class some days because I was kind of bad. I'm not going to lie. Growing up as a kid, I was good, but I was bad. Like, I would be, like, the quiet kid, but then, like, you would, like, turn your head, and then you look over, and you'd be like, man, that quiet kid is kind of bad. Like, he does things.
Getting in trouble.
Yeah, he gets in trouble. Like, so my teacher, like, I started getting in trouble with her. Her name was Miss Brown.
Right.
And she was an older lady. Like, back when I was a kid in first grade, I think she was already in her, like, 70s, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But she was so, like, genuine, so kind. Like, she just taught me so much about writing. And you know, we always had warm-ups in the morning where she would, like, write a question on the board, and you would have to, like, write a whole warm-up, you know, a little paragraph on it.
Yeah.
And I loved those warm-ups. Like, I would look forward to going to her class every morning just to, like, write a new warm-up and see what it was going to ask us, you know. So I think it started there. And my grandfather, I don't know if I told you, but he kind of helped me get started
Probably
with music.
Not.
He's from Shreveport, Louisiana.
Okay.
So they're just, like, big on music out there, like the whole Louisiana, New Orleans jazz is just big out there. So I spent a lot of my childhood with him when I was a kid, me and my big brother. My mom used to work during the day. Now she works at night. And so when she used to work during the day, we would spend the night over his house.
Mm-hmm.
And then he would take us to school in the morning or whatever we had to do. So he played piano. He always played jazz. Like, he always played, like, the good times on TV, like, just old school, just flavor, you
classic.
Know, just classic stuff.
Yeah.
Just, he had me in, like, a whole nother world as a kid. So that kind of helped, you know, influence my music and writing abilities also.
Mm-hmm.
Just having, like, that jazz sound in my head mixed with Ms. Brown teaching me good speech and how to write, like, a paragraph the proper way, and, you know, just punctuation and making sure you have your commas in the right area. Make sure you know, start off indenting when you're writing, you know, a paper or whatever. Like, so Ms. Brown, she definitely taught me how to structure, you know, format, write. And then she also taught me how to use my mind a little more than just the surface. Just she taught me how to think deeper into what I was saying.
Yeah.
And when you're saying something, you want to convey a message. You don't want to just say a bunch of words and then at the end people are like,
what did
I get from that?
Yeah.
What did you say? Yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah, shout out Ms. Brown. I don't even know where she is in the world, but
Ms. Brown, let's find her.
Let's find you. I appreciate you.
Do you feel like, you know, coming into, I guess, writing music, it was easier now that you kind of had an idea of how to structure certain writings? Or was it, like, difficult to get a hang of, like, writing songs?
I think it was kind of easy but difficult, too, because at first I wrote poems.
Yeah.
It went from writing, like, just in school to writing poems on the side, just having
like
my
love
own.
Poems.
I mean, I had a girlfriend back then, like, you know, in elementary school, a little crush or whatever.
Yeah.
But the things I would write to her wasn't like a poem. It would just be like whatever was on my mind. You know, it didn't rhyme or nothing. It was just like, you know, that's how I feel. You know what I'm saying? And then the poems that I would write, though, on the side, I had in this black and white composition book. You know, the little composition books. Yeah, I always kept one of those, like, just in school, that had nothing to do with any of the subjects. It was just like my
personal
writing book. You know, and back then I didn't even look at it as a rap book. I just looked at it as like a thought book, you know, self-expression book.
Yeah.
And it started there. Then I started, like, you know, doing poetry. I was like a big fan of Nas, so like poetry was always dope to me, and just like making words, like, come into like a painting, like you could paint a picture with your words.
Nice.
That was always like cool to me. Like, so I kind of fell in love with music just from being a kid and turning on the TV, just like most 90s kids. And, you know, we would see stuff like music videos, you know, BET, you know, they had stuff on music video channels, and, you know, even MTV, you know, it would be like cool music video countdowns, you know, stuff like that. So that kind of started it, you know what I'm saying? Just me writing in this personal book and then going to the TV as a kid and watching these music videos and stuff like that. I was like, I think I like this. I want to get into this, you know?
Yeah, that's dope. Yeah. Do you feel like there's something that you would tell that Hardaway Smith that you may not have known that you know now, if that makes sense?
You don't quit, Hardaway.
You don't. Do you feel like you did quit back then?
Yeah, I feel like I didn't. I don't feel like. Let me take that back. I don't feel like I quit, but as an artist and at the stage that I'm at in my career, a lot of people would have quit right here, right now, like at this point, right now, or maybe even a little bit prior to this. Okay. I would say.
Why, like, do you feel that way?
Let's say the year that I ducked off.
Okay.
They would have just ducked off, forever after that, you know, at that moment.
Yeah.
I always have my moments where I just overthink. I'm an overthinker because I'm an artist, so I'm always thinking. And I'm always, like, thinking about regular things, and then I'm thinking about personal things. Then I'm thinking about what I want to, you know, do and achieve and what I aspire to be, and sometimes that can cause a lot of confusion in your head, and it can make you feel like, man, you're quitting on yourself, or you're doubting yourself, or you don't think you could do this anymore. So I would tell Hardaway, you know, you don't quit. Yeah, a little Hardaway, like, man, you don't quit. Like, you thought you would quit on yourself, but you don't quit. Yeah. Like, you actually just evaluate, and you carry on, like, even if it might take a year, like, you somehow still bounce back every time. It's like, you know, somebody hitting you with a big boulder or something, and you think he won't ever get back up, but somehow he's, like, shaking, and he's getting back up. He's just like, yeah, like, I'm hurt, but I'm still standing. Like, that's what I would tell Lil Hardaway. Like, you don't quit, man. You're a champ.
And speaking of Lil Hardaway, what do you feel is something that you would like your future kids to inherit from you?
Wow, that's a great question. I actually have a couple of things, because I'm big on morals. I want my kids to definitely inherit from me just being a genuine person. I think that's important, especially in this day and age, like, with everything going on in the world. You got everybody just so caught up in just getting up and just going out the door and just doing whatever they do. Some people don't even get up and thank God, you know what I'm saying? Like, some people just get up and feel like they were supposed to get up, and they just go out into the world and do whatever they think is good for them, and they kind of push everybody out the way. Like, it doesn't matter what everybody else is doing or what they're going through. It's just all about them, you know? So we need more genuine people in the world. I feel like every day I get up and I go out into the world, I try to be genuine. Everybody I come across, I try to, you know, always start off good. You know, I don't ever try to judge a person.
Be compassionate.
You know, I definitely try to come with good intentions, be compassionate, So I would say genuine, ambitious, you know, just hard work, you know, just that drive. Because that's something I have. I just want my kids to definitely not be lazy and get up and know that they have to work for everything that they want in life. Mm. It's not going to be handed to you. Another thing is just what my mom, like, carries. It's just real love, like real love. You know what I'm saying? Like,
you love your mom so much.
Yeah, I love my mom. She's That's awesome. My best friend. She's dope. We argue too, you know, but at the end of the day, she's never let me down, like, ever, ever, ever. Even when I think she's, like, over me, like, done with me.
Yeah.
She always helps me.
Those are really important things, I think, that you would wish to instill in your children.
Yeah.
And that, so that's dope. Mm-hmm. I kind of want to get into you talking about how you're, well, I guess now, maybe would you say you're more social, like you kind of get out there more and talk to people? Would you say that you kind of?
Yeah, you know, I'm still, like, really selective. I'm a selective person. So even though I'm out and about and I'm, you know, networking, I'm not, like, trying to meet everybody, you know. I'm feeling like I'm only meeting people who I'm destined to meet or who the universe allows me to meet.
Yeah.
So it's just whoever I come across or whoever I feel like that energy is there and we just so happen to be, like, recognizing it at the same time and we might stop and chop it up. So, you know.
Do you feel like it was maybe difficult for you to get on stage because you were kind of, like, a little, you know,
well, I've been in a lot of, let's put it like this. I don't think it's difficult only for one reason. Everybody gets those, like, before the game jitters, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, whether it's a stage or whether it's a basketball court or whether it's a ballet recital or whatever it is, like, everybody gets those little pre-event jitters. So I've always had that, but I've never been, like, scared to get on the stage once I'm on the stage because I've been in so many, like, situations that was way more, like, serious than that to where I had to really, like, stand up and be, you know, present in that moment. And I had to, you know, be in charge of something, and I was, like, really involved. So just growing up in the streets of L.A. and just around my neighborhood, that's really what I'm talking about. Just I lost two of my best friends when I was growing up on my block. I had to always, like, try to figure out what was going to keep us safe. And even though I was so young, it was, like, such a responsibility on my end just to, like, think fast. So me just being in that kind of environment, it's allowed me to, like, treat like a stage, like, this is nothing. Like, this is more like home. Like, it feels comfortable. This is my therapy. So when I'm on, like, the streets, that's when I'm always, like, worried or paranoid or, you know,
alert.
Like, alert. Like, I think I got, like, a little PTSD. So I don't really like being around a lot of people. I don't like being, like, around new people. I'm always thinking and overthinking, like I said. I don't really sleep well at night, you know. I'm always up, always thinking. So
what helps you sleep?
Weed. Be honest. And my mom hates the fact that I smoke weed, but she knows I smoke, so.
What about CBD?
What's that?
Really?
Yeah,
it's that? It's. But it just, wouldn't it help you sleep?
I'm lost. What is that?
Get a CBD massage.
Oh, okay. It's a massage joint.
It's it's not THC, but it's like a
body relaxer.
I guess it comes from the plant.
Okay.
From the plant.
It's natural.
It's natural, yeah.
Okay. I'm gonna have to check that out.
You don't smoke it. You buy it.
Really? I didn't know that.
Well, I mean, I like smoking. You know,
you're like, I like my.
So, yeah, I like my method. I think I'm going to stick to my method.
That's cool.
You know, that helps me go to sleep, so.
That's good.
Yeah,
as long as you're getting rest.
Yeah, I try to get rest. And then I get up real early. Like, even if I go to sleep, like, late, I get up
early. Why are you waking up early?
Man, you can't let hours pass. Like, you got to get up and make the most of your day.
That's true.
Every day.
But you gotta get your full rest.
You gotta get your rest, but hey, we're gonna get the rest. We're gonna get the rest after we get these goals accomplished. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I feel you. I feel like for me, I'm very much. Are you a planner? Would you say you're a planner?
Sometimes.
Sometimes.
I'm like kind of how I was in school. Like in school, sometimes I would plan and study for my test, and then sometimes I would come in there cramming and be like, "Yo, what's the answer to number 6?" Like, you know what I'm saying?
I feel you. Yeah.
I'm all over the place. I'm
Did
not gonna lie.
Did you get
lie.
The answers?
Yeah, I got the answer. Sometimes I would like not even study, and I would still know the answer. Like, damn, I actually know this. Like,
or you time, guess all B.
Man, what? My favorite to pick was C. I ain't gonna lie.
I would
always pick C, because C is just like, I don't know. C is it. A is too, like, nah, it's not gonna be the first one.
B was trying to throw you off.
B trying to distract you, you off. Yeah. C is like, okay.
C is the, okay. With you,
but what about if they put all the above?
Those, I hated those.
Yeah, I didn't like
those. Those I hated. Because then
it really throws you off.
It really throws you off. It either say D, all of the above, or it say D, none of the above. And then I'll be like, oh, if it's none of the above, I really don't know. Because I would sometimes write down each equation, and I would get all the answers, but it say none of the above. And I'm like, that's the right answer?
What is the right answer?
What's the right answer? Yeah, I don't like trivias.
Yeah, they could be fun sometimes, though.
They could be fun.
Yeah.
But those, you know, those, what was we having in high school? Those Scantron
joints. Oh, Scantron?
I'm done with those.
You have those in college, too.
Sayonara.
Yeah, they have those in for the quizzes. Yeah.
I never use another Scantron in my life. Ever.
Okay.
What are your goals for the rest of the year?
The rest of the year, I just want to be a better individual at the end of the year. I want to be proud of just how far I came. Definitely want to put out another project.
Before the end of the year?
Before the end of the year, for sure. Maybe even two. I'm working.
Oh.
I got music stacked, but right now I just got to see what's going where, you know what I'm saying? Definitely another project. I want to get my business in as far as just my merch and everything we're doing, you know, with the residence clothing. I want to get that all the way going. I got a graphic designer. Shout out to Hector. Hector is a great, you know, graphic designer. He did the house logo for the residence.
Nice.
He's just like always working and thinking of new things for the summer line that we're about to drop for the residence clothing.
Ooh.
Yeah, that's coming soon.
Some short shorts.
Uh-huh. You know.
Some boot shorts.
No, we're working on some shorts for sure.
You are not kidding.
We're definitely working on some shorts, you know. Some sweat shorts, and then, you know, eventually we're going to go into some, like, basketball kind of joints.
Ooh.
Because, you know, it's
comfy.
It's L.A., you know, it's good weather, so.
Yeah.
Sometimes you don't want to wear jeans. You want to still look fashionable and just step out in some shorts. So we're going to look out for the girls, too, with shorts and
How do you
like
go
that.
About merch? Like, how do you pick about your things so you know they stand out versus all the other clothing lines?
That's a good question. I think it's just being, like, yourself, you know what I'm saying, at the end of the day. Everybody tries to, like, go off of, like, another brand that might be already popular.
Yeah.
I feel like the recipe for me is just to be myself. I don't really care about Balenciaga. I don't care about Givenchy or all of the stuff, you know, that
Givenchy.
People get when they're, you know, getting the money.
I don't know what that was.
I'm really
two
like
chains, sorry.
I'm really like a laid back kind of guy.
Yeah,
so
simple,
even yeah, simple.
To the point.
Even when I get some money, I'm gonna be in some sweats and some slippers and pushing my little whip and low key. You know,
you
what I'm
may
saying?
Be simple, but I think you like details.
Yeah, you know,
the little details that count.
That's definitely true.
Does your boy influence you on the fashion?
Yeah, Rose is definitely a good influencer.
We're going to have a fashion show
now. You know what he helps me with? Seriously, he helps me not with the streetwear look. I think I got that down pat. He helps me with the formal, more casual. Yeah, high-end.
The runway? Do you go to, like, Fashion Week and stuff?
He ain't that. Look.
Okay, hold on.
He ain't doing all that. Come on, man. He ain't on the carpet like that.
I could see front row.
Yeah.
No,
but he's, you know, he's a funny guy. So, you know, just him just being like who he is and just, you know, expressing himself through his clothes the way he does.
Exactly.
It just matches his whole persona and who he is as a person. And he helps me with the whole little casual look. He got it down pat.
Nice. Where do you see your clothing brand, I guess, next year?
Definitely doing, like, you know, more numbers as far as just like a following on the clothes and just who's like really messing with us. We plan on taking it to shows.
Yeah.
And, you know, when we perform, having like a booth on the side where people could purchase the merch, whatever we're dropping at the time or whatever's out right now at the time. So I definitely see it just like, you know, just doing well, you know, with new seasons and just new flavors. We want all kind of people like going towards it. My mom actually helped me with the merch and just on the investment side. So, yeah, I really appreciate her for that. And it's a family business. That's what we're turning it into. So, shout out moms.
And
eventually, honestly, we actually talked about going from clothes to household items because it's the residence. So we'll do coffee mugs. We'll do welcome mats in the front of your house.
So you'll just become a lifestyle.
Interior design.
Exactly. Interior design. We'll have bathroom curtains. We'll, you know, the whole nine. Bath towels.
Oh, my God. That sounds like a mom's dream.
Yeah, robes. All of that.
That's awesome.
Silverware, you know. I'm trying to do a lot, so, yeah.
I like that they do a lot of pop-up shops. Like, instead of getting a permanent store, they'll do a pop-up. You show up, and it's kind of like you purchase the things in person. And then you have to kind of catch them the next time.
Right, right.
I think that's pretty smart.
Yeah.
Because then you make your money. You don't have to pay for rent, especially in LA. It's so expensive.
This is my buddy's brand. It's called Divinities. Yeah, I've been rocking it ever since 2010. Since we got rid of high school. Yeah. He's been
almost
working.
Going 10, yeah.
Yeah, so, you know, Chris, he's done plenty of pop-up shops like you were just talking about.
Yeah, it's like smart.
Yeah, so I've learned a lot on the merch end from him, too. He's definitely helped me on the back end and just taught me what not to do and what's a smart idea and how much of each quantity to get, you know, just based on our demographic and who's looking at buying and, you know, just things I need to know. So, yeah, I would definitely.
Businessman.
Yeah, you know, I'm working with a lot of people who are definitely involved with what I got going on musically. They believe in me 100%. I believe in them 100%. Mm-hmm. And we just benefit off of each other. We've always been friends since even before me, you know, rapping to them or even them knowing I rap. So, yeah, it's cool.
I want to see some lyrics printed on a t-shirt.
Man, you know what? I actually was already thinking that.
Oh.
But I didn't know if it was a good idea yet because I'm like, let me just hold off for that until I get the brand.
You off of, you know, recording.
Right, right.
Now everyone's going to steal the idea.
Man, well, that's Liz's idea. You guys, that's Groovy Liz's idea. Yeah, so they can't steal that and say it's their idea. It's yours.
That's true.
Hardaway says so.
So I did, you know, want to, I guess, briefly get into just Rare Breed and kind of that stage of your life and what, you know, it meant for you. And now just having it out there and, just, you know, the response that you've been getting.
Man, it actually goes back to what we were talking about earlier. Like, it was that point where you feel like quitting or you think about quitting, but you know if you quit, everything that you've, like, done in the past and worked so hard for to get to that point goes out the window. And then you got to think about the other side of things, too. Like, if you quit, everybody's going to look at you as a quitter. Everybody's going to look at you as, like, oh, he didn't even, like, continue with his dream. He gave up on himself. Like, I don't want to follow a guy like that. I don't respect a guy like that. You know, I would never respect Rose if he gave up on what I know he's passionate about the most. I would really be upset with him. He knows that. He would really be upset with me if I just said, you know what, Rose, I'm done with music. I don't want to rap no more. He'd be like, bro, this is all you've done your whole life. Like, what are you talking about? So Rare Breed just comes from a space of just, like, knowing that I'm special, even if I'm not getting, like, the kudos for it, even if I'm not getting the recognition for it. I know I'm special. I know, like, my purpose is music. I didn't do music to get girls or to floss with whips and, you know, like I was talking about earlier, Balenciaga, whatever the fashion, you know, people wear. I don't really care about that stuff. I just love music. So it's just like a rare thing. You know, most people get in the game to get girls. Most dudes get in the game to floss in front of their homies or, you know, just try to flex or whatever, however you want to look at it. I don't really care about that stuff. I just care about the music and pushing the culture forward. I grew up, like, loving dudes like Jay-Z, Fabulous, Kanye, the old Kanye, Nas, you know what I'm saying? Dipset, you know, Pharrell, you know, Snoop Dogg, Ice Cube. So I just really want to be one of those pioneers 20, 30 years from now. You could look back and be like, man, Hardaway, yeah, he really represented it a good way for LA, mm-hmm. you know? So, yeah.
What do you feel is something, you know, about those that you grew up, you know, influenced by that? What do you feel is something that they all collectively have that maybe you carry as well?
Just curiosity.
Mm.
As an artist, it's important to be curious. If you're like, mind is always just kind of like in one space, or if your mind is like closed-minded, you can't really be the best artist you could be. Those guys have all gotten as far as they've gotten because they stayed curious.
Mm-hmm.
I watched Fade to Black documentary like a long time ago when it first dropped with Jay-Z, and he like stayed in a curious mindset. You could tell. He didn't say he was curious, but when I watched that documentary, I was like, man, this dude is really like not going to sleep until he finds the perfect beat, or like he's not going to rest until he makes sure this last album is like everybody who needs to be involved is involved. Like, he stayed curious. Like, man, I wonder if this goes with this, how that would sound. Or, no, scratch that. I wonder if I get this artist with this producer and I hop on this with that artist and that producer, I wonder how that would be.
Like,
he stayed curious until he made the perfect masterpiece or perfect body of work. Same thing with Kanye. He's just like a super artsy, creative guy. So he's always stayed curious. You know, his mind is like all over the place, and that just comes from curiosity. I'm a curious guy too. I don't like to just
stay in one place
or be like, oh, well, this is it. No, I want to see like if there's another option out there. You know, there might be another option. Everybody likes to go right, but you have to have the one person to go left so you can say, oh, well, y'all went over there, so y'all know how that was, but nobody else went over the left, so nobody knows what it's like over here. I'll choose to be that one person to go over there, so I could be like, you know.
Do you feel like those times that you did go left, do you feel like you gained like knowledge, or do you feel like you, I don't know, do you feel like it deterred you from where you were actually supposed to go?
It came with confusion. It came with more curiosity. It came with more confidence. It came with more responsibility and more just manning up and standing, you know, solid. Because when you're the only person, like, in your head that's going left when everybody's going right, you kind of feel like everybody's against you. You might feel like everybody doesn't want you to succeed. Nobody really wants the best for you. Only you want the best for yourself. You feel alone. You feel like you're back against the wall, and you got to quickly get away from that. You know, you gain more paranoia. You know what I'm saying? But you also gain a lot of knowledge by going left. To answer your question, yes, you do gain knowledge. I've definitely gained knowledge by going left and just taking that year off. That, I think that's like my analogy of when I went left.
Yeah.
Was taking that year off.
Yeah.
And I gained a lot of knowledge. I went and met with a lot of people that, you know, people would be like, man, Hardaway tripping. He ain't dropping no music. Like, to y'all that went right, I'm tripping, but I'm the only person who went left. And when I went left, I met boom, 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 boom. And they actually gave me something to bring back to the trail when I come back. So yeah, I've gained knowledge, and I've gained a lot of other things too. Yeah.
Will we be seeing you going left with these new projects coming up?
You will see me going upward.
Ooh, okay.
Upward. Yeah, you will see me going like straight up to the top. The music is just like more fun. It's just more like, you know, comfortable. You know, I feel like in the past I've kind of been stuck in a box of just my neighborhood and just talking the street life of how I grew up and just losing my friends. And I feel like I've rapped enough about that kind of message. I'm still going to rap about them always in my music, always in my songs, but it's different ways to speak on it, you know. But now I'm just in a space of like just fun stuff. I just want to be, you know, making great music and just, you know, having that bounce and, you know, just having a good time, because I do create that kind of music too. I don't want people to just think I'm a conscious guy, and that's all I do is spit conscious rap. So, yeah.
Okay. So we're going to have fun.
Yeah, we're going to have fun, you know.
2019.
And then more music for the ladies.
For president.
Thank you. Thank you. You know, Donald Trump, fuck you. I'm sorry.
Thank you.
I don't know if we cut.
No, it's all good. I think we all felt that.
Yeah. Fuck Donald Trump.
And where can we find your or follow your journey?
I'm on Instagram at HardawaySmith1. That's Hardaway, H-A-R-D-A-W-A-Y, Smith, S-M-I-T-H, 1. That's on Instagram. On Twitter, you can follow me at Hardaway Smith.
Yes.
What else is out there? I don't have a Snapchat.
I guess SoundCloud. Oh, you said SoundCloud.
SoundCloud, Hardaway Smith.
And Apple Music.
Apple Music, I'm on
and
there.
And all the goodies.
I'm on Spotify, Tidal, yes. Yep, Amazon nice. Music, YouTube. All platforms.
Nice. And I think I asked you this last time. I don't remember your answer.
Mm-hmm.
But every artist that comes through, we like to ask them two questions.
Okay.
The first one is called The Music Baby. If you could throw in some artists into the studio and have them make a music baby, what artists would you throw into the studio? As many artists as you want, dead or alive. I think I only remember you throwing in Sade for some reason.
Yeah, I love Sade.
I think you, yeah. Sade's like dope. The only artist I remember.
Well, I would definitely throw her in there. Fabulous, Pharrell, G Herbo, and
G Herbo. Okay.
Yeah, Herbo.
Yeah.
I fuck with Herbo. And I would say for my last one, I would say E40.
What?
Yeah, that's my dad's favorite rapper.
Ooh. Nice.
I bought the My Ghetto Report Card album. I forgot what grade we was in, but that was like one of the first albums I bought other than T.I. Urban Legend.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, classic. That's crazy. All right. That's a cool baby.
That's a hell of a baby right there. What?
Before you're durable.
Yeah.
Second question. If somebody has never heard your music, what song would you choose to introduce your artistry and what would the setting be as they hear the song?
As of right now, it will be Champion.
Ooh, okay.
That's my latest song.
You just dropped that video, right?
I got the video. Okay. Just dropped the video, yep. Yeah. And you asked me...
The setting, when they hear the song.
Really, you could be anywhere listening to that. You could be in your car. You could be, you know, just out and about, headphones in, walking on the street. You could be with your friends, you know what I'm saying, at a barbecue.
Barbecue.
But my ideal setting for it, to be honest with you, would just be at a view.
Day or night?
Night.
Okay. Night view.
Night view.
Champion.
Yeah.
Very nice.
Nice. That's cool.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I appreciate you, Hardaway Smith, for stopping by you. Real quick.
Appreciate you guys over here at Essentials Radio. It's always been love from day one.
Of course. Day one.
You know that, Liz. You interviewed me first. You were my first interviewer, so, you know. It's always been love.
Oh, my God. I always remember that.
Yeah.
First interview. So... we're just going to keep following your journey, and I'm going to keep going to all your shows.
Thank you so much. I appreciate that so much.
Of course. Essentials, and we're out.
Yeah, red breed. I wear my heart on my sleeve. Yeah, shit. This feel like 400 degrees, like Juvie. Yeah, this feel like a movie. 100 clips. Who want it, bitch? Yeah, I'm gunning this. Yeah, who want the shit? Oh, red breed. Yeah, I feel like I'm Juvie. Feel like I'm Juvie. 400 degrees. This shit like a movie. Shit like a movie. 100 clips. I'm gunning this. Who want it, bitch? Yeah, red breed. Yeah, I wear my heart on my sleeve. Yeah, oh, yeah. Shit. Red breed. Yeah, I wear my heart on my sleeve. Yeah, oh, yeah. Hold away. Fucking nigga hatin', nigga probably still hatin' his dreams. Damn, I don't give a damn, I be zoning, get right with my team. Yeah, I ain't Fat Joe, but I'm still sitting back and I lean. Yeah, force green legs, drive that shit like a money machine. Yeah, and I'm in and out, it hurt these niggas front name, really bout it. And I know niggas mad and I know bitches doubt it, but I never quit, I get my shit and count it. Oh, she like take a bounce and she excited, that's some shit she been announcing. Still at white.
7, 8 is time. Niggas going live, fucking up the budget. Fucking up the budget. Baby wanna ride. If she jump inside, she better not come for nothing. That's period. And I'm low key, but it's loud pack when I touch the public. Yeah. Count cash, whoa, ain't no other subject. Yeah. We was down bad, yeah, when you niggas wasn't. Let's go. Rare breed.
So let's go.
I wear my heart on my sleeve.
My sleeve.
Yeah. Shit. It feel like 400 degrees. Like juvie. Yeah. It feel like a movie.
Feel like a movie.
100 clips.
100 clips.
Who want it, bitch? I'm gunning this.
Yeah.
Who want the shit?
Want,
yeah,
it.
Rare breed.
Yeah.
Feel like I'm juvie.
Feel like I'm juvie.
400 degrees.
400 degrees.
It's shit like a movie.
It's shit like a movie.
100 clips. I'm gunning this. Who want it, bitch?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh. Yeah. Yeah. I hear him talking, but I ain't like most niggas that you know. Nah. Yeah, don't even worry about it, my nigga. Just keep it running. I hear him talking, but I ain't like most niggas that you know. Straight up. Yeah. I was just working, trying to get better.
Yeah.
Niggas was hating, a lot of bitches was jealous.
Oh yeah.
I kept on going, cause it ain't shit they could tell us.
Nah.
My attitude, fuck 'em. Knew I was living rebellious.
That's right.
My pops was in jail clothes with killers and felons.
Fellas.
While I was on Melrose, my niggas on schedule.
Schedule.
Nothing but passion, just trying to get shit together.
Damn.
My music could last, so I start thinking forever.
Yeah.
All this, yeah, is temporary, that's what people yelling. Still wanna be great, I got a history fetish.
Fetish.
Bag it all up, I'm finna get to this cheddar.
Cheddar.
When you making it rain, that help you get through this weather.
Here we go.
These niggas be lying, like they was made by Geppetto.
Damn.
I'm speaking these facts, shit, we was made by the ghetto.
Yeah.
Made by a real one, that's why a nigga feel special.
Special.
Got no team, you could build one. Get on your grind, be successful.
Successful. Nigga.
Yeah. I hear him talking,
shit.
But I ain't like most niggas that you know.
All the way.
For real. Look. Live like a king.
King.
I feel like Martin, like Tut.
Tut.
I stayed on my hustle, cause I saw niggas get stuck.
Fuck.
When I got that feeling, I had to stick to my gut.
Whoa.
All them negative vibes will leave your ass in a rut.
Damn.
Selling my tape, I wasn't back in the trunk.
I was.
Had a gift that was crazy, I had to package it up.
Yeah.
Walk what I talk, I had to back my shit up.
That's right.
Had to take my grind serious, stack my cash and get up.
Whoa.
What? I ain't like most niggas that you know.
You know.
No.
You know. You know. You know. You know. You know.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Gotta get right, you know. I ain't a plug,
no.
But I've been in the jungle.
Yeah.
If you come to my city, you see how it is and make your ass humble.
Make your ass humble.
When you get in the game.
Yeah.
They expect you to crumble,
expect you to crumble.
But I never been lame, don't care about the fame. These niggas in trouble,
niggas in trouble.
We making a stack,
we making a stack.
We making shit double,
double.
Put my city on my back,
back.
That's why there's really no rebuttal,
rebuttal.
My dogs loose with no muzzle. I put them all in a huddle,
yeah.
These bad bitches tryna cuddle.
Damn.
Right now I'm focused, it's a tunnel.
Right.
New approach, gotta step it up. Build a plan, gotta prep it up. Gotta stay involved, just invest in stuff,
yeah.
Get your mind right,
yeah,
nigga, level up. I don't see no one ahead of us. That mean it ain't no competitors,
yeah.
Alien versus a predator, yeah. This is way beyond what you can register,
yeah.
Put in work,
yeah.
I'm a champion,
yeah.
Write my own shit, ain't no editors,
oh.
My light shine and it's ambience, yeah. See a op coming, that's a red alert,
yeah.
I've been grinding for a long time,
yeah.
All my happiness came from getting hurt,
right.
Ups and downs, it's a hard grind. But don't worry about it, man, just get to work. Gotta get it first,
gotta get it first.
Yeah. Nigga, like, fuck what you heard. Shit, I'm a champion.
Shit, I'm a champion.
Nigga, like, fuck what you thought. Yeah, I'm a champion.
Yeah, I'm a champion.
Don't give a fuck what they saying. Shit, I'm a champion.
Fuck what they saying.
All them excuses you playing. Yeah, I'm a champion.
Nigga, you playing.
When I came up in the game, I thought like a champion.
Thought like a champion.
They ain't expect me to last, but I'm right back again.
But I'm right back again.
Yeah, I'm a champion.
Yeah, I'm a champion.
Yeah.
Shit, I'm a champion.
Shit, I'm a champion.
Look, champion. Been through the toughest of times, but I'ma handle it.
But I'ma handle it.
Baby girl thought she could play me, but I ain't no amateur.
I ain't no amateur.
Stay down on 10 toes. I'm from Los Angeles.
On 10 toes.
They didn't want us to win. Now look, they mad at us.
Yeah.
I'm building my ladder up.
Oh.
I abracadabra them. Uh-huh. They think this shit magic the way that I'm having them.
Uh-huh.
They want me to have it rough.
Yeah.
They want you to lose it so they could just lap at you.
Damn.
Continue to add it up.
Yeah.
I'm on my own business while business get handled, bro.
Business.
I can flash like a camera. But I'd rather stay focused cause it ain't no backing
That's
up.
Right.
It's no going back for them.
Right.
My big brother started off driving Granddaddy Buick.
Yo.
I sat right in back of him.
Yeah.
Start driving myself and my homies was living crazy.
Right.
Real life, they just savages.
Yeah.
In the field doing damages.
Damn.
They just trying to reach lavishness.
Lavishes.
Grew up ghetto, we cabbage kids. Nigga like fuck what you heard, shit I'm a champion.
Shit I'm a champion.
Nigga like fuck what you thought, yeah I'm a champion.
Yeah I'm a champion.
Don't give a fuck what they saying, shit I'm a champion.
Fuck what they saying.
All them excuses you playing, yeah I'm a champion.
Nigga you playing.
When I came up in the game, I thought like a champion.
I thought like a champion.
They ain't expect me to last, but I'm right back again.
But I'm right back again.
Yeah I'm a champion.
Yeah I'm a champion.
Shit I'm a champion.
Shit I'm a champion.
Residence.